Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Here we go. Your dial is set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Jason, thank you for engineering. Kyle's with us in Montana. Welcome, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, Vince. How's the weather there in sunny Missouri?
It's getting a little chilly. You know, Kyle, it's funny you say that. You know, it's in the, approaching the 20s. Well, it was maybe 21 yesterday, Fahrenheit. And I was talking to Bert a few days ago, and he said, Vin, it's really getting cold. It's freezing here. I said, we're getting into the 20s here. He said, well, no, I'm talking about the 60s.
Yeah, we had 2 degrees a couple of days ago at night. We had 2 degrees here, and I've been actually running my wood stove since about the 15th to the 20th, somewhere in that time frame. I started lighting a fire at night. It'd just be a real small fire, you know, to keep the chill off. And then we have started here about. Excuse me. We started here about around the 10th, I think, of October, pretty much running real small fires and just barely keeping it going. But I've still only burnt maybe a half a quart of wood. This last year I had 9 inches of insulation blown into the roof of the house. I finally found somebody that could and would do it. And so anyway, I blew it all in there, and I'm having to relearn how to fire up the wood stove or not, because it has to run at a much lower fire now, because the difference in insulation is absolutely amazing.
When you say you blew 9 inches, is that cellulose or is that loose fiberglass?
It's loose fiberglass. This is an old mobile home that I live in. I'm not wealthy. And anyway, it came with an R19, 6 inches of insulation in there. And I kept having, the heat loss going through the roof would melt the snow and ice and everything on top of the roof, and I'd have ice dams that would build up on the edge of the roof where the eave would overhang. And so I decided I would like to get some, more insulation in here. And a friend of mine actually started up an insulation company, and he said, you know, I've got one of those, and I'll come do it for you. And so he did, and it was really interesting because I live in an old 77-ish mobile home, and it comes with when they ship these things, it comes in halves, of course, because it's a double wide, but they ship it with plywood on one side of on the top of the roof on both sides. And so when they marry them together and screw them all together, you have these two layers of this about 5/8 plywood in there. And Vince, I had to drill that and cut holes in both sides and open up a whole nother place in the roof and cut both sides. I had to cut through that plywood. And the difference in 1977 plywood and what we've got now would blow your mind. It is, that stuff was so tough. It was such a workout by the time I got both of those holes, all four total of those holes cut in that so that they could reach a, reach back into both sides. I actually built a an arm out of metal so that we I could attach it to the, a couple of fiberglass poles, and they could stick their hose, they could tape it, tape their hose to the end of my fiberglass rod with my the metal arm that I built, and they could squirt it all over in the upper end of the mobile, and it worked extremely well. He said he's going to have to fabricate something like this. I said, you can just have this one. He said, no, you know something, I want to build one out of aluminum just like that, though. He said, that is perfect, but he said, that's a little heavy. I didn't have any aluminum with me, so I used rebar and fabricated this thing for him. But he didn't think it would work at first, but then when he got it all up in there and saw how tight it was, I knew it was going to be hard to reach. And anyway, so I fabricated it, had it all ready for him, and he ended up using it all over the house. But it allowed him to get into the corners. But blowing in, like, you know, somewhere between, I'm guessing, 9 inches and 12 inches, depending on where you're at, you know, and where he could reach. But the difference in keeping the house warm and the lack of the snow melting on my roof is unbelievable. The difference is just, it's amazing. And I am literally burning since the 1st of September. And like I said, the way I stacked my wood, this is another tip for people that live in cold climates. You want to, the first half of a cord or first three quarters of a cord of wood that you want to access, usually for me, what I do anyway, is if I have to cut down small spruce that are dead, standing spruce, which I always have around here, cut them up and I put them on last so that they are the first things that I burn. In case I want just a small fire, I will take a few of those little spruce logs, maybe 3 to 6 inches at the most in diameter, and put two or three of them in the fire and light it off. And it'll burn. They burn up faster, and they burn a little hotter, and it'll heat the wood stove up, and it'll take the chill off of your house. You can use, bigger ones. You just have to chop them up so that they're smaller. And I've always got a bunch of small ones. So I cut them and put them on the wood pile last. And then after I get down to about half a cord, I'll have bigger logs. And they can still be, you know, white wood at this point. But if what I like to do anyway is after I get in about a cord and a half to two cords into the wood pile, I like to have more fir and larch for here because they're a denser, little bit red, but they're a denser wood that burns longer and they'll burn quite a bit hotter. But anyway, that's so anyway.
So what are you talking about? You're talking about faster growing woods. You start with them first because they're easier to light. They produce less heat when you don't want a lot of heat. And then you have the denser woods like the, for example, the oak and the hickory. Save that for when you want a longer burning, longer lasting fire with more BTUs per pound of wood. That, I believe that's what you're saying.
Correct. Yep. Exactly correct. Yep. And, you know, so I'll tell you, you probably already know this, but, I mean, some other people, that if you have to use a wood stove, here's another little trick I have found, that if you have the full round log, like if your wood stove, my wood stove will take about 2 foot long. Excuse me. It'll take about a 2 foot long. I don't cut them that big. I always cut them about 18 inches. But if you have a good bed of coals and you have a full round that's about 8 inches or 10 inches in diameter, even if it's white wood, that will burn longer than if you have the same similar size and it's cut or split. If you put a half round in there of, say you had a big log that was maybe 24 inches in diameter, which I had quite a few of those this last year that I had to chop and cut up. But if I cut that 24-incher up in quarters, I end up with, you know, about 6.5 or 7 or so, you know. And yeah, but it's cut. It's a wedge, you know. It's a fourth of a round. And so if you – that will actually burn faster than if I have a, like about a 7-inch round spruce tree that I cut up and I just leave them in rounds. And it's amazing to me why that would be, but it does work the same. I have noticed that I usually get about an hour and a half more burn time out of a full round than I do if it's split. So just a trick, for people to bear in mind, maybe if you have to start burning wood here. And with Bidenflation hitting this, you're going to wind up maybe burning your furniture if this continues on at this rate.
Kyle, that's exactly what happened in England. You know, there was a time when fuel was really hard to get, and people were literally burning their furniture just to stay alive. And there was a superstorm, Sandy, hit the East Coast. And one of our instructors, Linus Ertley, was an insurance adjuster at the time. And he was one of those guys that they would call in emergencies, and they say, come on out, we've got an emergency. We need to we have more claims than we can handle with our regular staff. We need the on-call staff. So he'd fly out there, and he said that people were burning the furniture, you know, in New York just to stay alive during Superstorm Sandy. So it's happened here as well. And so, class, you can look up the BTU value of different kinds of wood, like oak and pine. You'll find out that pine, white pine, does not have the BTU value of oak. And what Kyle said is absolutely right. You can take that round log and just, you know, cut the tree. If you have a tree that's fallen, you cut it into logs for the fire. It's really hard to get them started. But if you have a fire that's already running and you've got the coals in the bed of the wood stove or the fireplace, for example, you know, you can't do it in a fireplace. But if you have, certainly not 10-inch logs, but if you have a wood stove with ashes and you can control the air intake and you can control the damper for the flue pipe, you can burn larger logs, and that's what we like to do. Overnight, we'll put in some, you know, 10-inch ones if we have them, 8-inch ones, exactly what you said. And the reason for that, I believe, is that the surface area is less if you don't split the log. So you have more surface area if you do split the log, and it can burn faster, and that log will be consumed much more quickly. But if you leave it whole, it will burn slower. And you can get more BTUs out of it. And when we come back, I'll share with you some experimentation that I've done for making wood last longer. And I know Kyle can weigh in on this and share his thoughts as well. So we can talk a little bit about energy and heating with wood.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
We're talking about heat and class at our farmhouse. We installed an outside wood furnace, and it's made by a company called Central Boiler. So if you want to look it up, Central Boiler, and it's considered a classic model, classic. And they have more sophisticated, more complicated models, but this is their very basic design. And I decided on this one because I thought it was the best design for us, because it has a natural aspiration air intake. So to describe this thing, it looks like a storage shed. It has a steel siding, steel roof, and it has a cast iron front door. And the flue pipe comes out the back at the top of the firebox, comes out horizontally, and then makes a 90-degree turn and goes straight up vertically. And there is a clean out at that elbow where there's a transition from horizontal to vertical. It's actually a T. And you can clean any soot out of the chimney by loosening this cover plate. And you just twist it, slightly twist it, maybe a sixth of a turn, and the cap comes off. So it's a cap that you can look into the flue pipe with. It's about eye height, maybe a little taller. And so I've been experimenting. It has about roughly a 10-inch flue pipe, something like that. It's a pretty large diameter. And so there's no fan that blows air into the firebox. So what happens is there's a damper that is controlled by a thermostat. And when you set the water jacket temperature, there's a complete a water jacket completely around the firebox. There's a firebox that's steel, and then there's a water jacket around that with another layer of steel that keeps the water from leaking out. And that water gets heated by the firebox, and the hot water gets pumped underground into the house, into the heating system of the house, and then the return of the cooled water that has the heat extracted in the house gets pumped back to the outdoor wood furnace, and it keeps going round and round. So it's kind of a closed system, but it's not pressurized. So we can set that water jacket temperature, let's say, to 160 degrees, all the way up to a little over 180. And I don't like setting it near the high end, 180, because it's so hot, it eats the water pumps, you know, the circulating pumps. They last much longer at around 170 degrees, 170, rather than 180. So the lower the temperature you can keep the water jacket, the longer the pump lasts, but the more creosote you'll build up. So it's it's kind of a give and take. And what I did was I'm allergic to work. As you know, I'm pretty lazy. So what I've done was reduce the amount of air. So that there are air intake holes. And I thought, you know what, I'll just cut a piece of roofing metal. And I'll restrict a little bit of the air that goes into the intake of the outdoor wood furnace. Now, there's no blower that blows air in. So it's just the fire itself drawing air into the firebox. Kind of like a fireplace in the living room, for example, will draw air into the fire, and then the hot air goes out the chimney. So it's just, I restricted the air. And that's what a wood insert does, or a wood stove that you add to your fireplace does. It restricts the amount of air going in, so you have a slower, longer burn, and more efficient. So I tried that, and I used less wood, and I thought, wow, let's restrict a little more, a little more, a little more. And I got to the point where it was working really, really well. So this is kind of an experimentation thing, and I thought, you know what? Why don't we try restricting the chimney gas size, you know, the flue pipe. So this has a horizontal section, it's a couple feet long, and then it transitions to maybe 10 feet of vertical. And there's this cap, and I thought, well, I'll just throw a red brick in there to reduce the effective size of the flue pipe. And it worked. I thought, well, I'll put two of them in there. And it worked. So I was able to reduce the air intake and the air leaving the wood stove, the hot gases, and we use about a third less fuel, meaning a third less wood. But don't do it. Don't do it. It's dangerous, and you could have Smokey Bear get all upset with you. So be very careful.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
USA News Update. National Security Spokesperson John Kirby is reporting civilians are beginning to evacuate war-torn Gaza through the Rafah border crossing into Egypt. The crossing was opened after Egypt, Hamas, and Israel agreed on a maximum number allowed to leave. Only 500 people may cross daily. The House of Representatives has ended a resolution to censure Congresswoman Rashid Tlaib over her comments about the war between Israel and the terrorist organization Hamas. The Michigan Democrat had nearly two dozen Republicans join Democrats to kill the motion without debate. Former fiery Indiana University men's basketball coach Bobby Knight has died at the age of 83. The family announced last night, "It's with heavy hearts that we share that Coach Bob Knight passed away at his home in Bloomington, surrounded by his family." Lance Pry, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Keep it.
God,
you're
take my
when you go to
the
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Benelli.
Kyle's with us, and we're talking about eating with wood. And there's nothing magic about what we're talking about. This is simple physics. That's really what it is. And in order to have a fire, you need to have heat. You need three things: heat, fuel, and oxygen. So we'll say you have to have enough heat to start the fire, to get whatever the fuel is to burn, and then you have to have oxygen. Well, oxygen is most times considered just air, because air is about 21% oxygen. So heat, fuel, and air. So what we're doing with this example that I talked about, and don't do it. Don't believe a word I say. Do your own research, make up your own mind. Don't believe anything you hear, see, or read in the media. Do your own research, make up your own mind. And don't believe anything you even hear at USA Prepares. But what I do is reduce the amount of oxygen or air going into the firebox. With less air, there is less fire, okay? Because you need oxygen to have that fire. So if I can reduce that somewhat, I will have a smaller fire. And if I reduce the speed at which the exhaust flies out of the firebox, I am going to also at the same time reduce the amount of oxygen that is allowed in to the firebox. So what happens is by reducing the speed of the air, the exhaust air going out, or the exhaust going out of the flue pipe, it's the heat spends more time rattling around in the firebox. So there's more transfer of the heat that I created with the wood and the oxygen in the firebox. So it takes longer for the exhaust gases to get out, heats the firebox more with the same amount of wood. And Kyle has a device that does the same thing with his wood stove. And the idea is to use the wood efficiently. Now, the newer wood stoves, even made by Central Boiler, the same company, they're EPA rated. Now, ours was rated okay. It's fine. But it's not as efficient. The new ones are more efficient, but they burn white hot. And they require very, very dried fuel. And have you ever seen a pellet stove, you know, displayed in a store? Those things get really, really hot. They have a small amount of fuel. They have a blower to make a blowtorch out of these wood pellets that looks like, you know, rabbit food that you buy in a bag. The problem with that is you can't just throw logs in there. They won't accommodate logs. So you're trapped into buying pellets in a bag from some supplier, and you're stuck with the supply chain. And if that company goes out of business, or if the seller doesn't sell them anymore, how are you going to use that wood stove, right? So I don't have one of those. We have just a plain old, naturally aspirated, very, very simple wood stove with as few controls as possible, and it just works great. As a matter of fact, it could be a crematorium if we wanted it to be.
You know, if they keep importing more and more of these illegals, you might end up needing that, Vince. But so I wanted to say, too, you know, the folks, the old-time wood stoves used to be made out of cast iron or sheet steel that was at least a quarter, 3/16 of an inch thick, and they were very heavy. They had fire brick in them, and they were pretty much just a great big steel box with an air inlet that you could control, and they had various ways of doing that. Some of them had little caps over the front that were threaded, so you could screw them down tight or open them up. And then you had a dampener, they called it, which is like a butterfly valve in the pipe above it. And it does basically exactly what Vince is just talking about. Once you got this mass, because usually, like my wood stove weighs close to 400 pounds. It's very heavy. And I want that mass because if I were to leave the house and this wood stove, I've gotten real warm and say I'm gone for 8 hours. Well, if I'm gone for 8 hours, the fire burns out in six. Say, I'm just picking numbers here. But if I loaded it up and it lasted 6 hours and I had it on a low heat and there was no coals left, no anything, the thermal mass of this wood stove would keep the house warm, and it would still, the wood stove itself, I've got a little temperature gauge on top, and I have done exactly what I'm telling you. The wood stove will still be right at about 175 degrees. So I've got all of this thermal mass in the wood stove. And what I've done for to be able to let me digress on something just for a second. I've been watching some videos Vince, on the people that live in the coldest place on Earth, and it's called Yakutia. And I'm just watching this, just amazed at these, how tough these people are. They have, you know, they live with the reindeer hide boots, and they travel, and they have little wood stoves, and they have no plumbing at all. They freeze water, and they'll chop it up in the wintertime, and they keep it through the summer. But they will bring water in and melt it, and they have wood stoves in their houses, and they burn wood because this place has winter, like you have to be burning a wood stove, like I think it's 9 months out of the year or 8.5 months out of the year. It's a lot of wood. And I was looking at their wood stove in one of the videos, and it's basically a little hole, a square, looking, I would guess, maybe about 14 inches by 14 inches with a face plate over the front of it. And then it goes out for a little ways, and then it turns up, and there's a huge mass of this wood stove. And they have this thing, they get it roaring because they're heating up this huge mass because it's like 70 below zero there in the wintertime. It's a hard way to live. I would not want to live someplace like that. But in any case, I thought to myself, you know, you can go to some place that lives in extremes, and you can learn things from them to be able to make your life better, even if you don't have to live in that kind of an extreme. Like their houses are, they have log homes mostly, and they plug up. One of the jobs every year is they will go and tap in moss into every crack. They have single pane windows there, but they have three layers of windows, three layers of different windows in this house. And they plug up anything with moss where these windows are to try to minimize the heat loss. They have a mudroom, so to speak, and they come in with the mudroom, and they'll do whatever they're going to do for taking off their boots or whatever, and then they will go into the house. So it's sort of like a preheated room that doesn't allow cold, freezing air to just come rushing in every time you open the door. But I thought about the thermal mass thing, and that's the one thing, I've mentioned this before, but I have a device on top of my wood stove. Now, and I'm going to jump back to the wood stoves a second. So the old original wood stoves were a steel box, very heavy, fire brick inside of them that would heat up, and you would put a dampener on top of it, and you could control the amount of air going in. And Vince is correct. Once you got this wood stove hot, you could turn the front down just to a trickle, and you could shut the dampener, this butterfly valve, in the pipe. It restricted the amount of air going out, and it restricted the amount of air coming in. If you did it too much, you could kill the wood stove. But once you learned how to kind of feather it, for lack of a better term, you could put a couple big logs in there, and once you had a good batch of coals in the bottom, you could turn it all down and dampen the exhaust as well, and you could get more life, and the wood stove would stay hot because it's still burning. You get more life. You would extend the amount of wood. You would lessen the amount of wood that you needed to burn to keep warm. In modern stoves, they have what's called a double burn system, which there's little tubes that go across the top of the wood stove, and there's a steel plate over that top of the wood stove that's directly in line with the pipe. And it covers so that the smoke has to go up. It hits these tubes, and it hits this plate, and it has to travel toward the front of the wood stove, and then it goes up and around and out the pipe. they tell you not to put a dampener on that on your pipe if you have one of those wood stoves. I don't really necessarily understand all of the idea of that, but I can tell you that I put a thermostat, one of these little round thermal units, on my wood stove pipe, and good grief, the wood stove pipe itself was running 220, 230, 250 degrees sometimes. Well, I thought to myself, that's just a whole bunch of wasted heat going out that. So I bought the unit called the Magic Heat that sits in my pipe, and it's on a thermostat, and it has a fan in there. And when the little Magic Heat box, which I'm guessing is about 16 inches tall and 12 inches wide, and it has 10 tubes in it, and the heat goes around those tubes, and when this little box heats up to 185 degrees, the little thermal switch kicks on and blows hot air into the house through these tubes. Well, that alone decreased my wood without the insulation in my roof, which I just had done. Last year alone, the thermal amount that I got from the wood stove decreased my wood usage by a cord and a half. I literally, everybody I know went through an extra cord last year. Everybody I talked to, been three or four people, and they said, yeah, we burned an extra cord this last year because it was so cold. But mine, I normally burn about five cord a year, five to five and a half cord, and I burned about four total last year. So it decreased that for me immensely, and I'm having to relearn doing it all over again because of the extra added insulation. And I hear the music. I'll finish on the other side.
Yeah, what a great way to go. Less wood, less work, and more efficient. And that's where we're headed, class, in everything we do. More miles per gallon, better ways to cook, better ways to heat. We'll be right back.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kyle's with us. We're talking about heating with wood. Kyle, please continue.
Sure. Well, the other thing I was going to mention is this magic heat does wonders. But I have found that if you burn the fighter wood, the stuff that burns a little faster, it creates less creosote, strangely enough, compared to the more dense wood that burns longer. It has a little thing on there inside of it that scrapes the tubes back and forth, and you move this arm back and forth to scrape the creosote, and the creosote will drop down. But there's way less creosote with the fighter wood, for lack of a, and the stuff that burns quicker than there is with the denser wood that has more BTUs in it. But I like it so much, Ben. You know, you're just like with me with so many different things. I bought two of them so that I've got one cleaned out, ready to go, and if I ever need to in the winter again to swap it out, I'll let the wood stove on a not-so-freezing cold day, I'll let the wood stove die out. I will take the lift off the magic heat and put the other one on and take the original one into the shop and clean it up and get it ready to go. And I'll clean the pipe, the exhaust pipe coming out, clean the creosote out of the exhaust pipe at the same time. Usually I have to do that once or twice at the most, during the winter. But the other thing that's really critical, as long as we have electricity, is airflow, folks. I have three of these little thermal fans that sit on your wood stove that blow heat into the room and circulate air in all directions. And then I have another small fan that is mounted up about 5 feet high on a back wall, blowing air down the hallway to the back bedrooms, because I'm heating the entire house. And as long as I have enough thermal mass in this wood stove, it'll blow this and circulate this heat to the entire house really well. It works extremely well. And the little fan that I've got pulls about half an amp, so it practically is nothing. And it blows an immense amount of air. I really like it. But anyway, that's So thermal mass is really important with your wood stove if you have one and it's in the house. And being able to utilize the heat going out of your pipe to get it back into usefulness, and doing as much as you can to, like Vince said, squeeze every last ounce of heat out of this that you can get, is fixing to become very important. And I think it's that going to be that with mileage on your cars. It's going to be that with heat in your house. It's going to be that with the clothes that you wear. It's going to be that you're going to want to get, you're going to squeeze out as much life out of these things as you can. I have learned recently how to take and waterproof one of my Carhartt insulated coats with a hood. You waterproof it by putting these different chemicals together, silicone and some other things, and you literally paint it on your Carhartt coat. Again, don't do this, but you can find it all over the internet. I mean, there's a few people I think that are way smarter. They have ways of doing it and taking an old sheet and turning it into a waterproof, flexible. It makes it very flexible, just like a sheet, but it's completely waterproof. You can waterproof sheets and use them for waterproof tarps on things. You can waterproof this coat to be able to use it when it's rainy, snowy, like it is today here. We got about 33 degrees, and it's I call it snain. It's like a snow and rain all coming down practically at the same time. But this coat will shed water. It is canvas, heavy duty. I can work in it, and it's warm enough. If I put a vest on underneath there, I can be outside for quite a while and finish whatever chores and work I need to do. But we're fixing to have to become more and more self-sufficient and eking out as much as we can out of what we've got as long as possible, because we're headed into a collapse, folks. If you picture this in your mind and look at so many different news stories that are coming out right now. Vince, did you hear anything, speaking of that, did you hear anything about people in this country, the rich, have pulled out $1 trillion worth of money out of the banks in this country and got it out of there in the last 3 weeks?
Well, I know that it is happening. I didn't know that exact amount, but I know the rich are buying assets. They're buying things like land. They want to get away from the collapse. They know it's coming. They know it's coming. We know it's coming. Anyone who has an IQ above room temperature knows it's coming. Kyle and I will be right back after top of the hour news and commercial announcements. And I'd like to go through a little bit of arithmetic with you about
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.